ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. 1 hour call-in show with myself. I'm your host, and of course, my dear, dear friend, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful intro.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, compadre?
Dude, I'm doing well. It's my favorite hour of the week, so I'm excited.
Dude, it's the best. I was looking forward to it. I was driving 100 miles per hour back from Santa Fe, breaking the laws of man, and in that sense, the laws of God, and really just hoping to be back here in time. So
yeah.
I'm happy I got back here.
I'm not excited that you're breaking laws, but I am excited that you made it to the show in time.
Because
that's important.
Yes.
So, for those of you just joining us for the first time, Shock Therapy Live, it's your one-hour call-in show.
Yeah.
Centered around your questions. We've tackled anything and everything from pornography to cutting to heroin addiction to crazy babies attacking studios.
We are getting attacked by crazy laser eye babies.
See, what happened is basically we couldn't afford a babysitter tonight for our children, so they're actually in studio right now as we speak, just playing. So at the end of the hour, if we don't get enough questions, there will be a baby death match. So,
ooh, I like that.
Oh, man. So anyways, here we are. That's right, Seth.
Yes. You take down that baby. Put him in the arm bar.
He's ready for radio now. He just wants to be on the radio. So anyways, we're taking your calls, 505-338-3700. 505-338-3700.
That kid will take down Rampage Jackson any day of the week.
There you go. Or you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, or as we say all the time, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get your questions in. How are you, dude?
Dude, I'm good. I'm doing really well.
It's
been a crazy week, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you have a lot going on in Santa Fe. Now, for those listening in the Santa Fe area, tell us a little bit real quick about Metro Santa Fe. What's going on up there? Because obviously you got a lot going on.
Yeah, well, we got Sunday services that meet every Sunday at 11 o'clock, and it's a lot of fun. We have live worship as well. We also have a video teaching, and it's just a great time to spend some time in the Word fellowshipping. We meet at 1295 Clark Road every Sunday. And actually, tonight we had our first volunteer appreciation night, and it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And we're actually kicking off this Wednesday midweek services, where I'll be teaching live up there every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And if you want to check us out, we're at calvarymetrosantafe.org. You can get all the info there.
There you go. Dude, speaking of cool things going on and info, less than a week now, I can't believe this is happening. I get a phone call right this week. Bring. Hello? Hey, what's up, dude? It is Matt from Spoken. We totally are coming through town. We should do something. And so, actually, I talked to Ray Del Toro, and it starts with a V.
Vertical.
I get them all confused, man. There's so many. This Saturday night at Vertical, not only is Spoken doing guest worship, but then there's a free concert with Spoken and The Wedding. How crazy is that?
Killer. I thought it was Project 86.
No, Project 86 was like, oh, we don't want to do it for free. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. Later. And
sweet. Then, you know, we love serving the Lord, too.
And The Wedding was like, we will because we do. And so, yeah.
I like that.
The Wedding and Spoken.
Cool.
Free show this coming Saturday.
Hey, thanks for getting me to play at Renovate, bro. I appreciate it. It's awesome. I'm so stoked.
They're coming through on a Saturday. Don't give me that.
Dude, I'm so excited to have them play on a Thursday night for all the college students. It would be so, you know, blessed and just happy to have it there.
Whatever, dude. Anyways, it is Shock Therapy Live, and we are taking your phone calls, 505-338-3700, or, of course, your questions through Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. First question of the night comes from Kyle, who says, who exactly do I contact about job opportunities? Not necessarily the question we were looking for, but, you know, you can drop off a resume here at the station, 4001 Ocean Road.
Now, what's the first real question that we got? Because we actually need to get a good question.
Yeah, we do. Maria on her Facebook page asked the question, what would be your advice to someone that says, we all pray to the same God? And then in parentheses, Christianity, Mormonism, etc. So someone comes up to you and you know, you're talking about Jesus Christ and they say, oh, dude, well, I'm Buddhist, but it's all good, bro. We pray to the same God. What do you say?
First of all, you're an idiot. No, I'm just joking. But really, the logic here is so crazy, and it doesn't make any sense when someone says that, because they're basically saying, I'm ignorant and I don't know what I believe. Because let's take, for instance, Christianity and Mormonism. We as Christians believe that God is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are three persons in one being. That's who we believe God is. And we believe that God is completely holy, that he was before time ever was. He's on an infinite time level. He lives in eternity. We believe his attributes, that he is omnipresent. We believe that he is, omniscient. We believe that he is all powerful, all these different things. So we have these beliefs about God, and that is who we as Christians believe God is. We believe that Jesus Christ was an extension, that he was the one of the persons of the Trinity coming into the world and being all God and all man. So that's who we believe God is. Now let's take Mormonism, for instance.
Okay.
Mormonism believes that God the Father was once a mortal man who over a long period of time continually progressed to become a god. Basically, God the Father is all he is an exalted man. That's who Mormonism believes God is. Now, we have here, between Mormonism and Christianity, a difference in who we believe God is. I say that God was an infinite being who never had a creation point. He lives on an eternal level, and that he is God entirely, and that he is all-powerful, all-knowing God. Now, Mormonism believes that he is an exalted man, that he was at one time a mortal man, he slowly progressed. So we have two different beliefs about who God is. So for me to say that we're praying to the same God is a fallacy, because we both have different beliefs on who God is.
Right.
So what has to happen is one of us has to be right. We can't both be right. We can't both be right that you believe that God is an exalted man, and I believe that no, he's not an exalted man. He is God. He is the one true powerful God. He always was. He always will be. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And we have a different belief there. We can't see eye to eye on who God really is.
Right.
So because of that, we can't both pray to the same God. Someone has to be right. Somebody has to, at the end of the day, be correct. You say 1 + 1 = 2. I say 1 + 1 = 5. There's a problem there. One of us
right.
is wrong, one of us is right. So we can't both be praying to the same person. Or, for instance, if you were to use Hinduism, for instance, well, they pray to many gods. They've got like 700 gods. So
right.
I say I'm praying to the one true God, and you say I'm praying to the 700 true gods. Well, there's a problem. We're not both praying to the same God. We're both praying to someone completely different, and one of us is praying to the right God, and one of us is just saying stuff. So.
Right. There you go. It's almost like all roads lead to God.
Yeah.
This idea that all roads lead to God, it doesn't matter because we all believe the same thing. And I heard a pastor once say it brilliantly, like, you know what? You turn to that friend and you say, hey, man, I'm throwing a party this Saturday. This friend's never been to your house. And you say, dude, it's going to be amazing. You should come. Okay, cool. How do you get there? You know what? Just take a road and eventually you'll end up at my house. No, chances are you probably won't.
Yeah.
You know? And so not all roads lead to God.
Yeah, try that with your GPS unit.
Right.
When your GPS right. unit tells you to turn left so you don't hit a river, and you say, no, I'm going to keep going straight. Michael
right.
Scott did that in The Office, and he ended up getting his car wet. So don't do that.
If you're listening to Shock Therapy Live, I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, is Pastor Nate Heitzig, taking your questions and comments on anything and everything. You can give us a call, 505-338-3700, or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Got an amazing comment from Jim
yeah.
on Facebook.
Yeah, Jim says, I'm not listening to static radio anymore until you stop playing songs with cursing in them and proclaiming to be a Christian station. I did a double take when we went to your playlist and replayed the songs on YouTube to be sure I heard the
words right.
See more.
And I did. You can use any excuse you like, but you're wrong in doing this. How would you like it if a pastor or / pastor's evangelist all around started cursing regularly from the pulpit? God would strike them down where they stand. This is wrong, and God will judge the station unless you change and don't play artists proclaiming to be Christians who curse in their lyrics. Tons more Christians feel the way I do, too. I'd be curious to know what some of those songs are.
Yeah, what songs are we playing that have cursing on?
There's not a mention of what that is, so, you know, at least he was bold enough to.
Hey, thanks for proclaiming judgment on us, Jim. Appreciate it. Have a good night, man.
Thank you mucho. So if you'd like to get your comments in as well, 505-338-3700, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And again, tonight is not a night of systematic theology. You know, we talk about about this regularly. You know, tonight is a night of, what are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? What are you working through? What's going on in your life, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, physically? We would like to talk about it. So if you have questions or comments, if there's something that you're confused on in the Word, whatever it may be, give us a call, 505-338-3700, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, we got an interesting one last week when my dear friend Greg was here, but we ran out of show, so I thought I would spring this upon you because it was a really interesting question. Now, it had to do with the generational curses. Someone was at a church who was talking about generational curses and was curious to know if that is sound biblically, that, hey, if my grandfather was an alcoholic, does that mean I'm doomed to be an alcoholic? You know, what does the Bible have to say about this? So, what does the Bible have to say about it, Nate?
Well, I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Steve-O, because I don't, you know, we have, of course, the verses that people are speaking of when they talk about generational curses, that he will revisit the sins of the father upon the sons and the sons, and it carries on for, you know, I don't know, like
four generations.
So we have those verses that talk about that. Now, those are primarily in the Old Testament that the Bible talks about those generational curses. And we see, in the light of Jesus Christ, we see something new happen. And I want to point out, too, in the idea of generational curses, you know, the generation and the lineage of Jesus Christ was cursed. The generation and the lineage of Jesus Christ was cursed when God told a wicked king, the son of Uzziah, Jeconiah, that his entire lineage would be cursed and that they would no longer sit upon the throne of God. And this was a curse upon the lineage of Jeconiah, which also was the lineage of David, from which it was said that Jesus Christ would come from. Now, this was a curse that was given upon that lineage, that no one would sit on the throne. And this presents a problem for us as Christians, because we believe that Jesus Christ has to be the son of David. And part of the reason to that is he has to have the rightful claim to the throne of David, and therefore the throne of Israel. And we see that that doesn't come to pass. And God uses a clever little thing by bypassing it through the lineage of Mary, who is also related through the lineage of David. But it shows that God, in doing this, found a way to bypass a curse on a specific group of people. Right. So, you know, I hear some people say, well, you know, my great, 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 great grandfather worshiped Satan, so I've just got to worship Satan too. You know, I've just got to, there's no hope for me anyways, because he worshiped Satan and he had this horrible life, and because of that, I'm destined to serve Satan. And there's nothing I can do about that, so I'm just might as well have a great time and, you know, get drunk and smoke pot all the time and sleep with as many people as I can, because I'm doomed anyways. And that's a cop-out.
Right.
Because when we see the New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ judges each person on an individual decision of whether to accept or reject Jesus Christ. We're told that we should all come to the Lord, that God died so that all men would have eternal life, that none would perish, and that anyone who comes to the Father through Jesus Christ will and can be saved.
Right.
Now, you tell me that you're destined to live a sinful life because of your grandfather, but Jesus tells you that you can come to Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins, not your grandfather's sins.
Right.
So Jesus Christ isn't judging you on the sins that your father committed, that your grandfather committed, that your great-grandfather committed, or that Adam committed for that matter. Jesus Christ is judging you on the sins that you commit, and is judging you on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is a belief that's echoed throughout the entirety of the New Testament. You know, and you look at this, and we have to come to a realization that we're judged on who we are and on what we do, not on what anyone else does. And that goes two ways. A lot of times we want to use this as a cop out and say, oh, well, you know, I'm doomed, so there's nothing I can do. And we use it as a cop out in order to live, sinful lives. But then at the same time, we have to realize that this works in the same way, that just if you have righteous parents, or if you have godly parents, doesn't mean that you're going to heaven either.
True.
So just as much as having sinful parents doesn't mean you're going to go to hell, having godly parents doesn't mean that you're going to get into heaven or that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Each and every individual has to have that relationship with Christ.
Right.
Now, on something they hit on, though, they said, if my father, my grandfather was an alcoholic, does that mean that I'm going to be an alcoholic? Now, this is something that is a little bit more difficult because there are certain things that come genetically that doesn't mean that you're going to be that, but it might mean that you're going to be prone to
have a tendency
towards certain things.
Yeah.
For instance, if someone has a father that leaves at a very young age, they're going to be prone to certain sins because they're seeking that validation from a father figure. If a girl has a mother leave at a very young age, she'll be prone to certain sins from a very young age because that mother left. Now, does that mean that they're destined to, if your father was an alcoholic, you're destined to be an alcoholic? No, you have that choice to make when that time comes. Yeah, you might have a temptation towards that, but you, through Jesus Christ, can stand firm and stand away from that temptation if you're smart about it. Right. If you don't go to bars, if you don't go to parties where there's lots of alcohol, if you don't, you know, go to liquor stores, if you do those things, then you're probably asking for it. But if you are wise and you learn from your father, learn from the mistakes that those before you made, then you can actually see what they did and do the exact opposite of that.
Right.
So it does play a definitely a role within a believer's life, though.
Speaking of generations, it is Shock Therapy Live. You can give us a call, 505-338-3700, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you'd like to remain anonymous, because we have had a few, anonymous emails come in, it's studio@mystaticradio.com. That email address again is studio@mystaticradio.com, because, if you got something that you're struggling with and you don't necessarily want to shout it to the world at this point, feel free to, anonymously email us, 505-338-3700, or.
You know, we got a nice little comment that made me feel happy after the last comment that I kind of felt discouraged on.
Yeah. He goes by Heem, though.
Heem?
I've met him a few times, actually. Heem? At the fair,
Heem said, listen to you guys right now. Stay rocking. Many blessings.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that makes me feel
Heem.
Warm and cuddly inside.
There it is, 505-338-3700, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the idea that, if you have an addiction, if you struggle with something. In fact, we've talked about addictions. Man, how many times have
lots.
We? Yeah.
Lots
so,
of times.
I gotta say, if you missed a past episode, we've talked about heroin addiction. We've talked about addiction to pornography. If you've missed one of those and you would like to have more information on that, I would encourage you to go to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We have every single past episode of Shock Therapy Live up and available for you to download. You can listen to it. We've had some, man, gnarly
good
shows.
Questions.
Yes, and some just phenomenal questions, people being open and honest about sin that they struggle with and how to overcome it. We've talked recently about suicide, Catholicism. I mean,
yeah.
Anything and everything. So make
you know
sure
what
you
I love
it
about
out.
It? It's easily categorized that you can look on there, and each show is categorized at what we tackled: homosexuality, masturbation, cutting, drugs, alcohol. So you can really quickly go there and say, hey, I have this question. I wonder if it's already been answered. And throughout the week, if you've got, if you remember listening to one of our shows and you said, that was a great answer. My friend just asked that. And what did they say on that show?
Right.
You can go on there, find it, and get that answer really, really quick.
And there it is. We're going to take a quick break, but if you'd like to get in on the conversation to Shock Therapy Live, the number is 505-338-3700, or get them in at facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio, or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
That's right, dude. Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O. With me in studio, Pastor Nate Heitzig. What?
What's up, guys?
So, interesting evening thus far.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We've tackled two theological questions.
I know,
no
right?
Life questions.
No life questions, but theology questions galore.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello?
Can you hear that?
What is that?
So, anyways, 505-338-3700. Or facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get in on the conversation. I kind of feel like I'm at Harvest Crusade right now.
The echo?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, dude.
So we're hanging out here on a Sunday evening. We do this every single week. And, yeah, take your questions, 505-338-3700, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Yeah, or call us.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
That's pretty much the quickest way to get through is to call us. And if we start answering a question and you have a comment or you'd like to continue, you know, you can. Oh. I was going to say, like this person right here.
We like hearing from you guys.
They apparently hung up.
I like hearing your voice.
338-3700. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to get in on the conversation this evening for Shock Therapy Live. We're talking about generational curses. I know something that super awesome and fun. And talking about the fact that we got an interesting comment on Facebook about something. But before we get to that, let's see who's on the phone. Shock Therapy Live.
Hey there. Whatchamacallit? I wonder what the biblical view, I know the view, the husband's body doesn't belong to the husband, nor does the wife's body belong to her, but for the other person. But what about jewelry or certain kinds of tattoos or something, if they've already have them? Ooh. Like they don't want them to wear certain jewelry or they don't want to wear certain clothes that are not sinful, like not revealing or...
They just maybe don't like it?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a problem that, not specifically, but this is a problem that a lot of Christians have when they read a verse... And they take a verse and they take an overarching theme and apply it to things that the verse doesn't necessarily talk about. And this is what we call taking a verse out of context. We have to keep in mind this verse talking about that your body belongs to your spouse is specifically in reference to sexual matters is what this verse is speaking of. Talking about that your body belongs to your wife, your body belongs to your husband, and you should gratify one another sexually within that sanctity of marriage. And this is specifically in reference to that idea. We use this verse in reference to the idea of masturbation. Right. That it's wrong to masturbate as a husband or as a wife because your body as a husband belongs to your wife, and because of that, you are supposed to gratify one another sexually. So that's what this verse is specifically speaking of. It's not speaking of in reference to tattoos or to piercings. Now, I will say that if you get married and your wife says, hey, I really don't want you to get a tattoo, and you say, I don't care, I have the liberty to do so, well, then basically, you're not obviously disobeying the idea of your wife, your body belongs to your wife, your body belongs to your husband, but you are disobeying what Paul tells us, that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and that is right. A sacrificial love, that you realize, hey, I love you enough to not get this
right.
Because I'm self-sacrificing. I want it, but you don't want it, so because of that, I'm going to sacrifice what I want for what you want.
And I will say, speaking into the situation as well, I actually had a tattoo that I got years before I was married, when I was young and really stupid, that was a girl's initials that was my girlfriend at the time from back in college.
Yeah.
Well, my wife wasn't so much a fan of that. And rightly so, you know? And so I ended up getting something to cover up that area because it wasn't pleasing to her because she didn't want to see, you know, this initial on my... It was on my chest and see this initial and go, all right, and think of my ex-girlfriend every time. Nor did I, for that matter. So when I got married, I ended up covering it up, actually, and getting a big, awesome Darth Vader over it because I thought it was kind of fitting that the Dark Lord of the Sith was covering up my past girlfriend.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
Oh, sweet. All right. Thanks, guys. And I'll also say this.
My wife, when we first got married, she had a belly button ring and she had a nose ring and I thought they were cool, but she asked me when we got married, she said, hey, do you like these? Because, you know, I don't want to have it if you don't like it. And she asked me right away, you know, what my thoughts were of it. And I think that's really cool within a marriage
to respect what your
spouse thinks and respect what your husband or wife, views as acceptable and maybe not just acceptable, as attractive.
Right.
You know, we want to be attractive to our wives. And if your wife doesn't like tattoos and you get a big tattoo on your face that says King of Kings, then you're probably, stupid on two accounts. One, yeah, for dishonoring God, and two, for making your wife think that you're ugly. So.
And I gotta say one more thing. It doesn't even have to be something permanent like a tattoo or something like a piercing. I'll tell you what. I am not a fan of cologne because I work around Matt Gentry, who loves cologne and smells like a Persian dude rolled around in like a bottle of cologne. I mean, he loves cologne, and I'm not a fan of cologne. However, my wife likes me to smell nice and not so much like a dude, and so she bought me this really nice cologne, and I'll wear it if we're going out, and I know that she is attracted to this smell and she likes this cologne, I'll wear the cologne. I'm not a fan of the cologne, but I know that my wife is, and my number one goal as a husband is to please my wife. And so...
Hey, Steve, will you start wearing cologne for shock therapy,
stop
please?
Stop it. I will not.
I just...
Thank you so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right,
thank
bye.
You. I'd really appreciate it if you just wear cologne every now and then.
I'm going to punch you.
I just want to show that you're... I just want you to show that you're trying, Steve-O. I don't feel... I feel like you're not trying in this relationship, and I want you to try,
man,
a little bit more.
Here's the deal. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's usually the first line of response if you'd like to get in on the show. They usually come before Facebook or the email questions. We actually got a Facebook question, though, from Deborah that says, so I have a question to ask on behalf of my roommate. Here goes. Can an unmarried couple be married in God's eyes without being married by law?
No.
The long and short of it is no.
No,
right.
They can't.
Absolutely.
And
not.
I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus tells us to respect those who are in authority over us. He tells us to give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. He says to respect the law that God has put in our place. We're told in 1 Corinthians that God has put these people in a place, and not only has he put them in a place, but they are anointed by God. No matter how stupid of decisions they're making, no matter what politically they're doing that we don't like, God has anointed them in that place, and we're called to respect that anointing and respect that position that they have. Now, what do our laws tell us? Our laws tell us that you are not married unless you are married by law,
right,
is what our laws tell us. So in essence, if we're not married unless by the law's marriage rules, well then in that case, we're not married in God's eyes unless we are submitting to the leadership and to the authority that is over us and respecting that authority and respecting those laws.
There it is, the long and short of it.
Yeah.
No.
And here's the thing. People use this all the time. Well, why do I have to do this and why does it have to be official? How hard is it if it's really a thing where it's like, oh my gosh, this is so difficult. This is, you know, well, why would God make me do this? You know how easy it is? Go down to the Justice of the Peace, set up an appointment.
Right.
It'll take 30 minutes of your time and you'll be married.
Right.
And then you don't have to know and live in the idea that you're living within within a perverse relationship. Because if you're not married and you're living with your spouse and you're having sex, well, then you are committing adultery on a daily basis.
Right. Absolutely. And this goes both ways as well, because believe it or not, I was actually just in a conversation with a friend of mine. They were having a difficult time in their marriage, and it was like, you know what? It doesn't matter, because in God's eyes, I feel like we're divorced already anyways, because, you know, she left, she's done, and whatever. And it's like, no, until you officially sign that certificate of divorce, you guys are married,
yeah,
in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of God. And so,
and guess what, too? Even if you do get a divorce, if someone didn't commit adultery, you're still not divorced in God's eyes.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you got a divorce. In God's eyes, you're still married.
Right.
And you've got to live within that knowledge and know that you're not eligible to remarry unless there was infidelity on your spouse's part.
Yeah.
So on divorce, it's even more serious that in God's eyes, you're not divorced unless someone committed adultery.
Right. 505-338-3700 or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get a question in. Hello, you're on Shock Therapy Live.
Hi. My husband has gone from being a strong Christian spiritual leader to an agnostic. And furthermore, he's told me that he's not attracted to me anymore. And I'm just really struggling with staying in the marriage.
Right.
Where do I go from here?
Man, can I first off say that I'm so sorry and how difficult that must be to hear those words from your husband, and shame on him,
right,
for doing that, and shame on him for going to that place within that relationship. And I sincerely want to let you know that I'm very sorry for that. And we're here for you if you need to come in and talk personally. If you and your husband would like to come in for counseling, we're always available for that. But in response to the question of what do I do from here, first and foremost, the most important thing to do and something that we often overlook is to pray. And not just pray for you, but pray for your husband. On a daily basis, pray for your husband that God would change his heart, that God would straighten out his path, and that he would realize the error of his ways. And from there, I'm going to tell you simply what the Bible says. And that is that you are called to simply be what God has called you to be. And that is that God has called you to submit to your husband and to love your husband and to honor your husband, however difficult that is, however unsettling that is. That's what God's called you to do. Unless he's calling you to do something that is against God's word, God has called you to honor your husband and submit to your husband. And from there, we're called to give it to God's hands. And I know that's often a very scary thing to do and an unsettling thing to do, but we can't control the decisions that people make. We can't control the ways that people decide to live their lives. All we can control is who we are before the Lord Jesus Christ and control our relationship with God. So my encouragement to you is you be the best Christian that you can be. You let God shine through your life. You let his light shine through your life into your husband's life. Let your husband realize that no matter how bad he treats you, no matter what he says to you, that you still, because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, are going to honor him and love him, and eventually his walls will be broken down. And if his walls aren't broken down, then what's going to happen is something else is going to happen. It's going to drive him further away from the Lord, further away from his relationship with God and you. And in that case, it might even lead to your husband desiring to divorce you. And if that's the case, then you as the woman, if your husband does that, still have the right as a woman who's been divorced and widowed to be remarried. Right. But what you can do in the relationship is pray for him, pray for your relationship with him, and then seek to be the best Christian woman that you can be and let God handle the rest and trust that God will not only deal with your husband, but judge him when the time comes.
Now, I have a question, actually, because I immediately thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, actually, on this. Now, you said that he was a believer and is now, like, turned away from his faith fully?
Right.
Okay, and is my big question is he seeking a divorce, or is he has he consented, like, hey, this is our marriage, and let's get through this? Where what is the state of him right now?
He hasn't really said anything. We're basically two ships passing in the night. We're raising our kids. We have teenagers. They're angry and confused.
Right.
Because they know that he should be the leader of the family, and he's not. And I am basically the leader of the family because I'm the Christian, and the kids are coming to me for counsel and things like that.
Right.
He's not got divorced. We're not sure if he's been unfaithful.
Right.
I don't know.
I will say immediately, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 speaks literally directly to this, that says, if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. So as you said, Nate, you show that love of Christ. I think of John 13:34, this new command we've been given to love one another. And by our love, all men will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. If you... Man, it is so tough, and I can't even fathom this situation or pretend like it's an easy situation. But I do know that 1 Corinthians 10 also reminds us that God is faithful and that nothing has overtaken us except what is common to man, and he will always be there. He will always be there, and he will never give us more than we can handle. And I know right now it seems like you're taking on so much with these, you know, as you said, ships that are kind of passing in the night, almost, you know, this unfathomable situation.
And I would encourage you to, just because you don't legally have the right to divorce him, you do have resources that God has given you. And one of those resources is your church, whatever church you go to. I know we often have situations like this that come into our church. And what we'll do is we'll put whichever spouse is performing the role that your husband is right now, we'll put them under church discipline. And that means that we'll write them a letter very succinctly stating that what they're doing is sinful. And if they continue on this path, that we're going to seek biblical and scriptural discipline within their lives. And what that means is that if they continue to refuse to come into counseling, if they continue to refuse to right their ways, then what we'll do is we'll disfellowship them from the church oftentimes. And on very, very rare circumstances, depending on what the situation is, we won't encourage divorce, but we'll encourage temporary separation, that hopefully after realizing that he's not maybe getting his needs met, that he's not getting someone to clean his house, that he's not getting someone to clean his dishes, and it stops being convenient for him, that possibly in that moment he'll realize the error of his ways and change. So we'll never encourage divorce, but we will encourage resources over a temporary period of time to hopefully help and reconcile the marriage. Our goal as a church is to see that your marriage is reconciled. And in whatever way we can do that, that's where we seek to strive. So whatever church you go to, I would encourage you taking it to your church leadership, to your elders, to your pastors, to the deacons, and make it aware to them of what's going on within your life. And they can definitely come along your side and help you. And let me tell you, they're going to stand up for you. They're not going to condemn you. They're not going to make you feel bad. If they're a biblical church, what they're going to do is stand up for you. If everything that you're telling me is correct and true, they're going to stand up for you. They're going to help you. And they're going to walk you through this.
Yeah.
They've got me in counseling.
You what?
They have me in counseling.
They do?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And have they tried to seek out your husband to come to counseling as well?
Yes, but he refused.
Okay. And have they made any attempts to contact him and made him aware of church discipline?
No.
Okay. Well, I would maybe ask them about that and ask them about where their stance is on that and what their belief is on that. And you know, definitely just keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we?
He never attended the church
okay.
that I go to.
Would you mind if we just pray for you right now, actually?
That would be awesome.
Okay.
What was your name again?
Karen.
Karen. Lord God, we just come before you right now. We lift up our dear sister, Karen, Lord, and how heartbreaking that is to hear the love of your life, the person you've committed yourself to, tell you that they don't love you anymore. And God, I can't imagine the heartbreak and the pain of that, Lord, but I come before you right now, Lord, and I ask that you will intercede on her behalf, God. Mm-hmm. I pray that first and foremost, Lord, you will guard her heart and her mind through a peace that surpasses all understanding, that just as Elijah, when he went to the wilderness and didn't know what was going to happen, he was afraid for his very life, Lord, you came and spoke to him, not in thunder and lightning, but in a still small voice. Lord, come to Karen. Speak to her in a still, small voice. Give her words of encouragement, words of comfort. Lift her up. Uphold her, Lord. Hide her in the shadow of your wing. I pray that she will run and not grow weary, that she will walk and not faint, God. Give her the strength that she needs to be the woman of God that you have called her to be, Lord. And number one, serve you and love you with her entire heart and do that which you've called her to do. We thank you for her, God, and we pray that you'll bless her life. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Karen, I just have to say, from firsthand experience, God is a God of restoration, of reconciliation, and he is magnificent. And we will be absolutely praying for you and your family and your kids.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
I'll let you know if something positive happens.
Okay, please do. Please keep us, please just call us up whenever. And, we'd love to hear an amazing praise report of something just fantastic and miraculous that God is doing in your life.
I will. I'll do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
God bless you, Karen.
God bless you, too. Okay. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Whew! And that is the purpose of the show right here. If you guys have a question, if you guys are struggling with something, dealing with something, we're going to throw off all the Christianese. We're going to throw off all the junk, and we are going to get back to the basics of what the Bible has to say about anything and everything. And that is the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. The phone number is 505-338-3700. If you'd like to get your question in, your comment in, you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We have to take a very, very quick break, but we'll come right back with more questions and your phone calls right after this.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me in studio, my boy, Nate Heitzig.
Boom!
Yeah.
I wish I was John Foreman.
Really?
Kind of.
I don't. Dude.
He's got such a buttery smooth voice.
You know, we're actually going to be talking to John Foreman a week from tomorrow on the morning show.
What? What?
Giving away tickets and backstage passes.
Can we have him on Shock Therapy?
In Amberlin. Dude, I'm sure we can get him on.
That'd be killer.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
I've already talked to Stephen from Amberlin, who was like, dude, when you do a show on this, yeah. So,
well, I've already seen that you're looking out for me by getting you know, awesome bands to play at Renovate when they come through town. So hopefully you'll be able to hook it up for the Shock Therapy, too.
All I have to say is I am Empire and Silverline. Didn't they totally play Renovate
dude,
once?
They did.
Yeah, so you stop talking right now.
All
right. But don't, because you're my co-host of sorts. You're my pastor, and I need you.
What if I literally just took that advice and I just stopped
just
talking?
Walked
like,
out.
All right, fine.
I'm like,
fine.
Man,
taking my ball and going home.
It'd be unprecedented Shock Therapy Live where we just played music until the end of the show.
We just played that one Switchfoot song over and over again.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 if you would like to get your call in on Shock Therapy Live tonight. Or you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you'd like to remain anonymous, you can also email us. It's studio@mystaticradio.com. In fact, we just had a caller call in who had some questions.
Yeah.
And your lovely bride happens to be in studio hanging out.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I wanted to get a woman perspective on this because, you know, this is a female calling in regards to a male. And it, sometimes it's good to get a female perspective on these subjects. So,
right. Hey,
lovely bride, Janae Heitzig, what do you think about this whole situation with this guy who is married to this woman who says he was once a Christian, now he says he's an agnostic, says he's not attracted to her anymore, doesn't think he loves her anymore, and is pretty much just ignoring her for all intents and purposes in their marriage? How would you handle that situation?
Well, I can just say from personal experience, not necessarily with my own husband, you, but...
Because you're awesome.
Dude, I went agnostic for a while. I just totally ignored
her. Stop it.
But just from other personal experiences that I had in my life,
right.
I would just be encouraging and say that if you remain faithful to not only the Lord, but your husband, that it will be redeemed and it could be restored. Just from what I witnessed and saw that something that looked so broken... from my perspective and others, it was absolutely God's hand in it, and he restored it. And if you stay faithful, you stay loving, you stay respectful, I know that in the end, he will have nothing left but to love you. If you're everything that he can't manage as far as being loving, how can he can respond in anger, he can respond hatredly, ultimately, love wins overall.
Yeah.
And that's the outcome. If you continue to respond in love, he's not going to have much more to fire at you.
There you go. That's beautiful. Thank you, Janae. Thank you for coming in and hanging out. Seth, do you have anything to add?
You know, I love that idea. This is Seth speaking.
Yeah.
Seth says, I love that idea that in the Bible it says that a soft answer turns away wrath.
Absolutely.
And I love the way you phrase that if you simply love somebody, if you simply show them love, and you show them love with not just what you say but what you do, well, then they can't stay mad at you for a long time. And if they do, that shows that there's something deeper that's inside their heart that at that point there's really not much you can do. And at that point, they're probably going to make the decision they're going to make anyways, but you know that biblically you still have that right to remarriage. But either way, that person, if they're making those decisions, simply love them with your entire heart and show them that you love them, and God will break down those barriers and those walls.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you, Janae, for coming in and hanging out.
Sure.
Now take this loud baby away from me.
Now get out. No. It's Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700, the phone number if you have a question you'd like to get in on the show. Or you can Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Or if you want to sing us a song.
Or if you want to sing us a song. Yeah, let's see. Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, Steve-O.
Hello.
Kelly Deb.
How's it going?
Really good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Right on.
What can we help you with?
Well, I had an additional comment to the Facebook.
Okay, you asked the unmarried couple, can an unmarried couple be married in God's eyes without being married by law?
Yeah, and you guys answered that, but here's one more thing that
confuses
them, and we're trying to get it straight. What if they're currently in their sin and they were to die today before repenting, but they've already been saved? Would they go to hell because they haven't repented yet?
What sounds to me... is like they're looking an excuse to not do what's right.
No.
No?
They want to know. They really don't know the answer. If somebody is in their sin right now, and I died right now and I was in my sin and I didn't repent, but I was saved, when I go to hell.
Then almost
once you get saved, you can't undo it, right?
Well, this is what you're asking me. You're asking me to judge someone's heart of whether or not they're really saved.
Yeah.
And I can't judge that. I can't tell whether or not someone's really saved. You know, the Bible talks about seeds that are sown on rocky ground, and that for a while they look like they're going to come to life. They have branches, they have leaves, but then they die away because it was on rocky ground. Then you have those who are seeds sown in the thorns, that they come alive and they look like they're alive, and then the thorns squelch them out. So it obviously shows that there's certain people who might look like they're saved from the outside, but on the inside there's not a real salvation. And the only person who can judge that is God. But we do know that the best way that we can tell if someone's saved is by their actions. We're told that our faith is proved by our works. It's justified by our works. So if that person really wants to show that they're saved, the best way that they can do it is by living the life that God's called them to live. And that's the only way that we as Christians can look at someone and judge their salvation. Even that, we can't judge and say that person's saved, that person isn't saved. But the best thing that we can do, and the only way that we're told in the Bible that we can look at someone's life and see if they're really a Christian, is by their fruit. So in asking that question, you're asking me, are they saved? Well, I don't know that if they're saved. The only way that I can tell their walk with God is by the way that they're living. And by the way that they're living, I'm going to have to say that they're not living according to what God has told them to do in order to be saved. So it's a difficult question. We do believe firmly in the idea that once you're saved, you're always saved. But it seems to be that the Bible references that there's some people who act like they're saved or pretend that they're saved, but their heart really isn't right before God. And that's a determination that only God can make himself.
Okay, because John 14:15 says that, you know, if you love me, you will obey me, you know.
Yeah, so you'll keep my commandments.
Yeah, and does it not all who call on the name of the Lord, but only those who do my will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So we actually tackled this, if you want further on it, because we only have a couple minutes left on the show. But if you go back to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive, there's a podcast where a young lady called in whose mother-in-law had committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
They were Catholic, and the Catholic Church basically, in essence, said, "We are so sorry that your mother-in-law is in hell because basically she, you know, committed suicide and could not repent of that sin." So this is getting into this whole theological idea of, you know, what is salvation, but what does it take? What do you have to do? If I, your great analogy now was the car ride.
Yeah,
you know?
And this is what I would say. And this is why there's a very important difference between certain kinds of sin. We talk about, and we've talked about before, lifestyle sins. And this is a sin that dominates your life. And it could be said that you are walking in that sin. You know, we're told to walk in the light, not walk in the flesh. And when you're walking in the flesh, that's speaking of a habitual lifestyle sin, which I would say living with somebody who you're not married to and having continual sex with them is a lifestyle sin.
Right.
It's something that's dominating your life. It's not something where you get in a car accident, right before you get in a car accident, you say the F word. God's not going to look at you and say, "Oh, well, you said the F word right before you died, you're going to hell." But if you're living in a lifestyle sin that's dominating your life and you're continually doing it, well, then I would say at that point that you are not being controlled by the Spirit, but you're being controlled by that sin, and you haven't fully let the sanctification process take part in your life. And that sanctification process is taking your life and letting it be continually transformed into the image of Christ. So what I would say to this, if someone is living with another person and they're not married and they're having continual sex and they say, "I don't want to die right now and go to hell," this is what you do. You say, "Hey, we're going to get married on Monday, but until then, I'm going to go move in with my friend. I'm going to live with my friend for the night. We're going to repent of our sin right now. We're going to realize it's wrong, and we're going to separate for these 2 nights until we can get married." And you do what's right before God's eyes, and no one can say, "Well, I can't do that." Yes, you can. There's someone you can call. There's somewhere you can go. You can rent a hotel room for the night if you need to, but do what's right in God's eyes until you can do it before man.
And listen, really quick, guys, please help me out. She is a new Christian and freaking out, like, what if we die on the way to the courthouse? Or what's going to happen? I mean, and I said, they can't tell you if you're going to go to hell. They can't judge that. Only God can judge your heart. But she's worried. She's freaking. That
Well, then if
she really does want to get it right. She
doesn't
know any better.
Here's the thing. That's good. And I'm happy about that. And this is the way you can get it right. You can still do what's right. This is the thing. Not being married isn't the sin. The sin is living in adultery.
Right.
So the way to write that sin isn't – there's two options to write the sin. Either A, get married, or B, separate. Those are the two options. So what you do is you separate from each other. That doesn't mean that you hate each other, you don't touch each other. It means that you don't have sex with one another. You don't live with one another until you get married. So it's a simple fix. If you tonight say, okay, I realize that's a sin, I'm going to separate from this person until tomorrow when we get married.
Right.
Well, then you're right in God's eyes. You don't have to find a place to get married at 12 o'clock at night and say, all right, finally I'm married. Now I'm right before God's eyes. The sin isn't not being married. The sin is living in adultery.
There you go.
Well, Steve-O, hey, I hope to see you at the fair. Will you be there during the week?
We'll be there all week, broadcasting live Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 2 to 6, the old man
awesome.
And Steve. So, all right,
hey,
cool.
Nate, thank you. Thank you. God bless your family.
Thank
and
you.
And Steve-O, I'll see you next week.
All right, cool.
God bless.
Right on. We have like 2.5 minutes. Let's see what we got. Shock Therapy Ooh. Live, welcome.
Hey, yo, what's up? Just, I know you guys are going to close out real quick. But just, I totally agree with the... you know, if somebody commits suicide, you definitely don't know, like, the state of their heart.
Exactly.
You know, right before. But here's the thought, and Nate, maybe you can clear this up. You had said we fully believe that once somebody is saved, they're always saved. Would that be until they willingly choose to walk away from the things of God, correct?
Well, once again, you're asking me to judge someone's heart. That we believe that once you're saved, if that salvation was true, your
yeah.
heart will walk with God. There's some people who I believe when they come to a relationship with Christ, they don't really consider the decision that they're making. And so when
yeah.
times get tough, they walk away, which that references back to them never having a firm foundation within their
gotcha.
Relationship with God. We're told in the Bible that once you're in the hand of God, that you cannot be snatched out. But we're
gotcha.
Also told that there are people who look like they're saved, and maybe even for a long time, but they're a seed that's sown on rocky ground. And they're not
yeah.
a true salvation. They're a salvation that never really took full root in the first place.
Right.
So it's not an issue of losing your salvation. It's an issue with never being fully rooted within the right relationship with God in the very
yeah.
first place.
I'm sorry.
No.
Just a thought. Because you know how in Revelation it talks about the Lamb's Book of Life and those names that have not been blotted out. So who could we say whose names have been blotted out? Those who haven't accepted Christ?
I would have to look at the exact verse and look at it in context of what it's being said.
Yeah.
I wish I had the Revelation memorized, but I don't.
Right.
So,
however,
I have to
your
look
father just
a good
wrote an amazing
that.
Book on
oh.
Revelation
yeah.
that you. Yeah,
yeah, they would have a lot better answers to that.
Right.
But
right.
but I would say that would be more in reference to the idea that the Bible says that God prunes trees and He throws certain branches in the fire,
yeah.
and those
yeah.
are branches that were connected to the tree, but maybe never had a really true connection.
Yeah.
And I would say we have beliefs of salvation. And this is really quick: justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification,
yeah.
you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you're clean, your sins are blotted out as though you never have sinned in the first place. But then sanctification comes into the process. So, hey, maybe when you took part in justification, your
right.
sins, you were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but then maybe you never submitted to the sanctification process. And maybe what it's
right.
speaking of there is, hey, you were never truly saved because you never took part in the sanctification
yep.
process.
Cool.
And so, therefore, you're blotted out because you never took part in sanctification,
yeah.
which is not saying that you lost your salvation, but you never really truly saved because you never took part in the full process of salvation. And I just tried to explain the entire salvation process in 1 minute.
Well, you guys are awesome. Thanks a lot for your time. And I saw Matt Gentry at the fair today, and I yelled at him. I was like, Matt Gentry. And he was all sweaty, and he looked at me kind of weird.
Dude,
so,
there you go.
Sounds like a good description of Matt Gentry.
Why didn't you just tell this dude to read 1 John?
Dude, read the Bible.
Read 1 John. All right, that is it for us. Man, we are like down to the wire. We will see you guys a week from tonight, 7 p.m. Thanks to everybody who called in.
Can I do the boom? Can I do the boom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go.
We got like 12 seconds left. Shock Therapy Live every single Saturday night. Past episodes at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
Check it out. You won't be disappointed.
Boom! I missed it!
Do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.